Paul, let me ask you something. Do you like your family?
It's a really complicated question, Steve. I didn't realize this is where we're going to be going right now.
No, I mean, do you like seeing pictures of your family?
Yeah, sure. Pictures of my family are nice. Yes, sir.
Okay, I've got a great recommendation for you. It is the Aura frame. You've probably seen some of these before. You go to your friend's house and they have a frame on the cabinet or in the living room or whatever, and it has digital photos.
Sure. Yes.
Well, I got this thing and I set it up, super easy to set up. I basically dumped a bunch of photos from my phone right onto it. Very easy to do. Took me just minutes.
All this sounds scary to me.
No, it's incredibly easy.
It's not hard. Okay.
And basically you can put like, seems like an almost infinite amount of photos on this thing. And then you can set the parameters and it can rotate your family through like every 30 seconds.
Amazing.
And it's great because I've got pictures of my son, my family.
Cool.
My dad passed away a few years ago. I get to see him popping up every now and then. The good ghosts of your personal history coming through on this thing.
Nice. That's nice.
They have a great deal for Mother's Day, so listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code ChinwagPod at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to Chinwag. I'm Paul Giamatti.
And I'm Stephen Asma.
And as promised, Chinwaggers, here's a little extra bonus wag for your listening enjoyment.
Bonus.
Bonus. See you on the other side, waggers.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
A few years ago, I had to do a reading. There's a thing they've been doing in the UK, and I think it's also come to the US a few times now, called Letters of Note, where people gather together and people on a stage will read you some fabulous letters that have been written over the years by people to other people. It's a lovely sort of celebration of the letter, and it's illuminating, often funny, sometimes heartbreaking. And I was the very first one of these and was introduced to an incredibly famous actor. And this incredibly famous actor had flown from one movie premiere, had gone halfway around the world to a second movie premiere, the same film somewhere else, and then had flown to England and come straight from the airport to this thing. And I thought, okay, I should leave this person alone. And he had been about 6 months, 8 months earlier in the cast of something based on one of my books. And I thought, you know, I'll say my hellos, but I know how A, important and fancy and famous this actor is, and B, how tired they are and must be. I will give them space and I'm not going to go and talk to them. And so in the intermission, I'm standing around backstage, and this actor comes over to me looking a little bit awkward. And the actor says, Neil, it's really good to meet you. I was wondering, and they named the thing they were in, and suddenly the penny dropped and I got to go, oh, you were wonderful. You were marvelous. Thank you so much. So you were sad. So great. And they beamed, and it was the sun came out. And I thought, oh, you've been chewing yourself up because the writer didn't tell you
that's
that you
amazing.
Did a good job. And I should have told you that when we were introduced, but I didn't because I was giving you your space.
I wanted you to leave
desperately
you alone.
Fancy and so on and so forth. But you are wonderful. And it's so great as a writer to be able to just tell an actor that.
Yes.
And you watch them, they open like daisies have just been hit by a sunbeam.
Oh, yes, they do. They blossom, absolutely.
So
it's
great.
Really, really sad. But it's true. It's true. You need it all the time. And the writer's very important getting it from them because there is that connection. There is that really sort of like visceral connection between the two.
You know, the other thing, Neil, about you that's really kind of amazing is that you're a British writer, but you've been living in America. And so you have this detachment on America, just enough to like understand it, I think, better than Americans do in some cases. And there's some sense in which like a lot of your characters are these kind of, they're like actors in a way. They're sort of Barnum. They're P.T. Barnum-esque. You know, they're sort of grifters, and they're selling, and is that how you see America? Basically, is what I'm asking. Land of grifters and hucksters.
No. I think I'm incredibly lucky in that I'm not from around here, and as a result of which, what I tend to do it's that thing where you're, you know, you're a fish from a different tank and you get to go, oh, the water here tastes different. And everybody else goes, nope, water just tastes like it always tastes. And so you get to point out weird things that everybody sees, but they just blank because it's the way it is. And you can go, so this thing where you drive the car onto the frozen lake at the end of December or early January, and then you take bets on when it's going to melt. The ice is going to melt. It's going to go through the ice.
Midwest.
Isn't that weird? And they go, nope, that's not weird. We always do that. I'm like, no, it's weird.
It's weird.
Trust me. And I will put it in a book and you will see that it is weird. Do I think Americans are grifters? No, I don't. But I do think that grifter is a very American archetype. You just have to look at someone like Trump, who is absolutely a Barnum-esque grifter. He lies, and he lies big, and he lies with no regard for truth and no shame, and it works brilliantly for him. It works just as well as it worked for P.T. Barnum.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's, you know, you only risk falling when you look down. Like it's that moment that Wile E. Coyote makes the mistake of looking down and realizing that he's running across the air. That's where you go.
We admire them, though, in this guy. I mean, we admire the guy who gets away with it. We love the sort of guy who's KD, that guy. There's always this thing in the end when we go like, hey, smart. You got to be smart.
He
fooled us. Yeah. He got away with it. You know, we really do love it. The Santos, George Santos, is a fantastically bizarre. I mean, talk about a trickster. Talk about a trickster. And it's one of these guys where it becomes, what I'm fascinated by with Kamen is to what extent are they buying their own thing? How much do you need to buy your own thing?
Yeah.
How much, and he, and that's the uncanny thing to them is not being able to tell, like, are you fucking with us? Are you fucking with yourself? Are you fooling? How much have you fooled yourself? How much do you really believe this? It's fascinating.
That's the fascinating one with Santos. Yes. Because you just look at him. And I love the fact that I hope that 5 years from now, people will have to explain to each other. If somebody's listening to this, they're going to have to go on to Wikipedia and find out. So who was Santos? What are they talking about here?
Yes.
No, he'll be president by
then. But he'll join that great sort of cohort of who's like the tick-borne fraudster and all that stuff. All these famous con men and stuff like that. Maybe. Or he'll be, you know, Secretary of State.
or he'll be, you know, the equivalent of that ice skater who hit the other ice skater on the plate. You know, it's that kind of
weird fame. Yeah.
People who came out of nowhere, the Lorena Bobbitts of this world.
Yeah.
Who
just sort of, wow. See, but we remember that, but people will have to look that up. John Wayne Bobbitt. Wow.
No guy will ever forget the name.
No. But it's an interesting thing, that thing of how, to what extent are you believing your own thing? And I suppose it just gets too murky for me. It becomes such a hall of mirrors with guys like that.
I think that one thing that some of them have really learned and internalized, and I think Trump kind of may have been the apotheosis of it, is you just never admit anything.
If that's true.
Yeah. All you do, you attack. Yeah. You never defend. You just attack, and you keep reciting your version of events as if saying it will make it true. And then you point out that the people who think otherwise or who say otherwise are obviously evil people with an agenda.
Yeah.
And they are the people who should be investigated and attacked. And you sort of watch that going on and you keep going, well, but surely they know. And doesn't this, and isn't there a point where somebody sort of points and says, but, you know, I remember that strange point in the press where they decided, newspapers suddenly decided they were actually allowed to say that Trump lies about things.
Yeah.
And up to that point, they were like, we have to consider the alternate reality of the situation.
Yeah.
Why, here is reality, but here is what the president says, which is an alternate and equally valid reality.
Yeah.
And then there sort of came a point where they went, he is lying about this. This did not happen. Or whatever. And it's like, okay, that's actually kind of refreshing.
So much of this, though, I mean, was you start to realize how much we had just agreed upon what was real and what was right. I mean, so much of the government institutions you started realizing was all just a kind of gentleman's agreement that we were all going to say, this is how this works, right, guys? Mm. And then it starts to come apart very easily because it's just been a consensus that everybody's come to. And it's very easy for somebody to step in and just begin to completely tear to shine. I mean, trickstery, chaos. It's just sort of making hay out of the fucking thing. And it's fascinating how much of it is simply held together with chewing gum and, you know, twine. And it's just going to come apart in 2 seconds, all of this stuff.
Thanks for joining us. We hope you had fun. We'll meet you back here again next week. Wag on, weirdos.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Chinwag is a production of Treefort Media and Touchy Feely Films. Hosted and executive produced by Paul Giamatti and Stephen Asma. Executive producers for Treefort are Kelly Garner and Lisa Ammerman. Dan Carey is executive producer for Touchy Feely. Our series producer is Rachel Whitley Bernstein. Original theme music by Luke Topp with additional music by Via Mardot. Oscar Guido is our executive in charge of production. Tom Monahan is head of audio for Treefort. Animation created by Alex Sokol. Editing and mixing by Jeff Neal. Lastly, for more information, go to chinwagpod.fm and find us on Instagram or TikTok at chinwagpod or on Twitter at chinwag_pod.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
We're trying to ascertain?
Yes.
Okay. Ascertain.
Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produce this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why do you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.